As we continue our discourse, once we leave that United Kingdom, and that of course is those 120 years that the nation of Israel were united under those three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. Then we looked at the next 393 years and 6 months. That's where we want to pick up our study this morning. And the reason why now we're going to be able to talk about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, Hosea and Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and of course Malachi. It's important for us to know between the 9th century and the 5th century, you have to bring in the prophets. We have 16 writing prophets. They have to be brought in. It's very important for us to know where they're brought in and, of course, how they fit. Now, when we think about from 1 Kings 12, that's the end of that 120-year period. 1 Kings 12 began. We know Solomon's reign. 1 Kings 11, there. Now, in 1 Kings 12, all the way to 2 Kings 15, we recognize that section of Scripture, and it's 933 to 722-21 B.C. That's that northern kingdom, 19 kings. Every one of them walked in the footsteps of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. What he did in 1 Kings 12, 13, none of those 18 kings tried or make an effort to correct him. As a matter of fact, some of those kings even added some stuff. So that's important for us to know. It ended in 2 Kings 15 when that northern kingdom went into Assyrian captivity, wherein their national identity came to a cease. Now, when we pick up in 2 Kings 15, all the way to 2 Chronicles 36. That's an additional 135 years. Well, we see that the southern kingdom now is going to come to an end because they are going into Babylonian captivity. It's important for us to know. Now, once they go into Babylonian captivity, we all should recognize that Nebuchadnezzar, he attacked Jerusalem 3 separate times. The first time he attacked Jerusalem was in 606. Then, of course, the next time was 597. Then, of course, the next time was 586 B.C. Now, it's important for us to look at a passage here. If you were to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 36. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 36. Because now this is getting ready to end. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 36. And I want you to look at verse number 19. In verse number 19. And what you're going to see there, that last time in 586 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem for the third time. For the third time. And that third time that he attacked Jerusalem, he burned the city to the ground. Now, when he burned the city to the ground, that also included God's house, the temple. We see that in verse number 19 of 2 Chronicles 36. Now, what you're going to have after this particular period of that southern kingdom going into Babylonian captivity for a period of 70 years that have to bring some prophets in. Of course, Isaiah and, of course, Jeremiah. Because we know that Jeremiah even prophesied and preached for 43 years to the same people, the same congregation. And, of course, Isaiah preached for 40 years. And, of course, approximately 75 of those years, they overlapped. But now, notice a passage in Isaiah 44 and verse 28. Let's look at this. In Isaiah 44 and verse number 28. And, of course, Isaiah 45 and verse number 1. Because there is, of course, a Persian king by the name of Cyrus. Now, Isaiah would prophesy about this king approximately 125 years before Cyrus was ever born. Now, what Isaiah was prophesied about, after this Babylonian captivity, there is going to be a king that is born that's going to open up the floodgates of captivity and going to allow those Jews who so desire to return back to the city of Jerusalem. We have to recognize God never promised his people Babylon. He promised them Jerusalem. Jeremiah 25 tells us that they are going to go into Babylonian captivity for a period of 70 years, despite of what Hananiah is saying. You're going into Babylonian captivity. But then in chapter 29 of the book of Jeremiah, verses 7 and forward, Jeremiah also preached that you are coming out of Babylonian captivity and the Lord is going to bless you. Oh, that should have been good news. But you know the difficulty. The difficulty when you have a group of people and you're preaching or prophesying to them about a man that does not exist. That's hard to accept. Who is this Cyrus? Where is he? Can I go by his house? Can I some kind of way talk to him? Isaiah, he doesn't exist yet. They should have been putting their obedient faith in that inspired prophet that said that, that was speaking in behalf of Almighty God. Even though that man did not exist at that particular time. And it caused some hard hearts. It most certainly did. So now what we have, Cyrus the Great is going to open up these floodgates of captivity and going to allow those Jews who desire to return back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. Now that brings us to another section of prophets and prophecies. Now what I want you to do, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ezra. Let's look at something real quickly here. Now remember, you got, we've already covered Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Samuel, Kings, Kings, Chronicles, Chronicles. Now we need to do something with Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And, of course, we'll run parallel those prophets during that time. And we'll see how it all fits together and how it all harmonizes. Now, let's keep in mind, in 586 BC was the third attack. 606, we know there was a man by the name of Daniel was in this group that went into Babylonian captivity. 597, we know there's a man by the name of Ezekiel in this group that went into Babylonian captivity. We know Daniel and Ezekiel are 6th century prophets, only two. 6th century prophets. Now, in 539 BC, what happens during that year, there was a country that captured Babylon. There was a country that captured Babylon, and that country name is what? Persia. Ethan is on the line again. I better leave him alone. Persia. In 539, Persia conquers Babylon. Isn't it interesting that Babylon had conquered Assyria? Isn't it interesting that Assyria took over from Egypt? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that nobody, no country will ever stop God's plan? Absolutely not. So now we have in 539, Persia captures Babylon. Now when Persia captures Babylon, now we can see the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 44:28 and Isaiah 44:28 and Isaiah, the next prophet, the same prophet, Isaiah 45 and verse number 1, we can see that come into fruition. I hope you see that. We can see it now coming into fruition. So now, when Persia captured Babylon, Cyrus the Great, he does exactly what God had said through the prophet Isaiah. He opened up those floodgates. Let me give you something I want you to remember. All truth has to run in parallel lines. All of it. That means not one truth is going to contradict any other truth, because then it wouldn't be true. All truth has to run in parallel lines. So whatever God says in one section, an inspired writer is not going to come along and contradict that. If Isaiah says 125 years something is going to happen, I ought to be able to find where it happens at. Oh, yes, I ought to be able to find it in the Bible. That's how accurate the Bible is. It's accuracy. So now what we have in 539, after Persia captures Babylon, in 536 BC, we're going to have that first return, because there's three. We're going to have that first return under a man by the name of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. That's going to be your first return under Zerubbabel. You're going to have three returns from Babylonian captivity. 536, 458, and 13 years later, 445 BC. Hopefully we can get down there. So that first return is going to be led by a man by the name of Zerubbabel. Now, this is where You have to bring in the book of Ezra. It must be brought in now. Now, when the floodgates of captivity open, led by Zerubbabel, what you're going to have, 50,000 Jews is going to return from Babylonian captivity. Just like the Bible says, 50,000 Jews. Now, this is what I want you to do. Turn your Bibles to Ezra chapter 2. And I want you to look at this. Turn to Ezra 2. Could we stay to something else? I'm not finna go through all of that. All of this mumbo jumbo. Can't we study John 3:16? Or something more simple? As if God doesn't have that in there for a purpose. As if it's so hard for us to understand. It's not. What you have now in Ezra 2, you're going to have all of these people listed. That's what that's about. Okay. Get your pen out. I want you to mark something in your Bibles. Get your pen out. In Ezra 2. I want you to mark something in your Bibles. Don't laugh at my Bible. I can't get rid of this here. In Ezra 2, notice something here. I want you to take your pen in Ezra chapter 2. Because there's going to be 50,000 Jews that's going to leave the floodgates of captivity. We see that in verse number 1. Now, these are the children of the prophets that went up out of the captivity. What captivity is that? Is that Assyrian captivity? No, they're gone. The Babylonian captivity. Now, some 50,000 Jews is going to return. And actually, we should appreciate how God actually gave us these people. Look at it. What I want you to do now, I want you to draw a line. Take your pen and draw a line from verse 3. All the way to verse 35. And I believe we can identify these people. From verse 3 all the way to verse number 35. Now, who are these people? They are the families of the folk that we are talking about. Verse 3. All the way to verse number 35. Now, what I want you to do now, at the end of verse 35, you see 3,630. From verse 3 all the way to verse number 35. That's the families of the people. Now, what we have to do, if the Bible is accurate, and if all truth runs in parallel lines, we ought to be able to count some 50,000 people that's leaving captivity, Babylonian captivity. We ought to be able to count it in God's book. If God said it, it ought to be in here. Now, what I want you to do, from verse number 36, Right there from verse 3 to verse 35, what you need to do, you need to write, because when you count all of those people, it's 24,144 people. Between verse 3 and verse 35, it's 24,144 people. Okay, now take your pen. I want you to draw a line from verse 36 all the way to verse 42. And every one of us in here ought to be able to recognize some of those names, some of the tentacles of those names, because these are the priests and the Levites. You see that? Are the priests and the Levites. Now, at the end of that, I want you to write 4,630 folk. On your own time, you can count them up. 4,630 people. We have to get to 50,000, because if all truth runs in parallel, God doesn't talk the way man talk. We know that Isaiah 55. If God said it, it's somewhere we can find it. Oh, yes. So now, what I want you to do, verse 43, all the way to verse 58. All the way to verse 58. Now, these people are the Nephthenims. And another word for Nephthenims is the word what? Temple servants. Oh, your rendering might have the word slaves there. Servants. Temple servants. That's from verse 43 all the way to verse number 58. And, of course, that's 392. Write that if you have any room there behind 58. That's 392. So far? Okay, now in verse number 59 all the way to verse number 63. Now these are the people who could not prove their Israelite descent. That's who these people are. All the way to verse 63. And the amount of those that could not prove it was 652. 652. Okay. Now, in verses 64 through verse number 67. Verse 64 through verse number 67. The whole congregation together was 42,303. 42,303. Now, if you were adding that up, Ethan, what's your total? Didn't add it. Okay. The total, I had to get him back. The total would be 49,896 folk. Don't tell me we can't trust the Bible. Don't tell me that. Almost 50,000 Jews left Babylonian captivity under that first return up under Zerubbabel. Up under Zerubbabel. Now, what we have to do now, because you have to understand how Ezra and, of course, Nehemiah and, of course, Esther and, of course, the three remaining prophets, because we know all of the other 13 prophets preach or prophesied on this side of the Babylonian captivity, every one of them. There was only three that preach or prophesy on the other side of Babylonian captivity. Only three. Isn't it important for us to know the context of the Bible? It's very important. That's why when you get to the New Testament and you read those passages like, Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Twice in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 8:1, Nehemiah 8:8, when they read, they gave distinction to their reading. Paul told that young preacher, 1 Timothy 4, when until I come, give attendance to reading. Ephesians 3 and verse 4, whereby when ye read. Revelation 1 and verse 3, blessed is he that read. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved of God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, straightly cutting. We not only must cut, we have to cut straight. That's the way you want your surgeon to do, isn't that right? He not only has to know how to cut and where to cut, but he has to kind of maneuver around those blood vessels and capillaries and all of those. He has to know how to cut straight. You may have not gotten that, but let me help you. Every doctor you go to did not graduate summa cum laude. Did you get it then? That's kind of frightening, isn't it? So the Lord expects us. He really does. He expects us. And I know many of you, and I know the curriculum. I've been told great curriculum here. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to grow. But certainly the Lord commands it. He most certainly does. So here, that's what we have. So now we see these 55. We know who they are. We know who they are. Now, let's move just a little bit further. Let me erase this for a moment. Move just a little bit further. Now, in 535 B.C., what happens now? The work begins. Now, you remember, in 2 Chronicles 36:19, the temple of the city is burned to the ground. You have to worship God. Oh, yes, you have to worship God. Now we see that brings in Ezra, verses 6 through verse 10. Now we've already covered Ezra chapters 1 and two here. We see Cyrus the Great, chapter 1, chapter 2, after Cyrus opened the floodgates, just like the prophet Isaiah says, we see who those people were. That first return under Zerubbabel, that first return. Now, we see the work begins. They left Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple of God. Now, notice verse 6 and verse 10. Notice that real carefully. In verse 6, the foundation was not laid yet. I want you to parenthetically insert, upon the first return, Zerubbabel, he comes to lay the foundation. The second return is going to be under Ezra the scribe. He is going to restore the law of God. The third return, 13 years later, is under a man by the name of Nehemiah. He is going to provide the safety and the security. Going to build the wall around Jerusalem. Now you parenthetically insert that. So now, here what we have in Ezra chapter 10, now we see the foundation is laid. Foundation is laid. Please understand it. Once the foundation is laid, in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 4, trouble ensues. And it so discouraged God's people. In Ezra 4 and verse 4, in 529 B.C., in Ezra 4 and verse 24, they quit working. They quit working. Now, what's going to happen between 16 and 19 years? God's people did not do one single solitary thing, even though they left Babylonian captivity to return back to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. Now, I want you to look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at that. Now, Ezra chapter 5, that brings us to 520 B.C. And there is going to be two biblical characters that is going to be first introduced to us. Oh, yes. Two biblical characters. The names are Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai and Zechariah. That's chapter 5, verses 1 and verse number 2. Now, we see, or we are beginning to see, how these three prophets that prophesied on the other side of Babylonian captivity, how they fit in God's scheme of redemption. How they fit in God's plan. Now, and we'll go back to these books. Let me just put this up here. In 516 B.C., we actually see that God's people completed building the temple up under Artaxerxes. And we see that in chapter 6 and verse number 14. I hope you're keeping up with me. We see that in chapter 6, verse number 14. And I hope you got this down because I'm going to have to erase it. Now, this is very important. What you're going to have to do now with the book of Ezra, what you're going to have to do between Ezra 6 Ezra chapter 6 and Ezra chapter 7. You're going to have to draw a line here. You're going to have to separate that. You have to separate it. You know why? Because between Ezra 6 and Ezra 7, there is a 57-year gap between there. 57 years between Ezra 6 and Ezra 7. Now remember, the first six chapters of the book of Ezra was up on, this is the first return, up on the Zerubbabel. We've already covered that. That's the first return, the first six chapters of the book of Ezra. Now, when you get to Ezra 6 and Ezra 7, there's a 57-year gap there. You got to divide that. Now, why? Why? We're actually dealing with 33 verses here. 33. Because this is where the book of Esther comes in. Right between Ezra 6 and Ezra 7. This is where the book of Esther comes in. We've already mentioned how this remarkable woman saved a Jewish nation. Ezra 4, verses 14 forward. That's where the book of Esther fits in. Now, once you plug in Esther, we really need to know how it fits. Oh, no, that can't be right. That cannot be right. My goodness. Once you plug in, I'm going to have to speed up here because I got to get a little bit more of this in. Once you plug in Esther, now you're going to get your second return starts. Second return from Babylonian captivity. And it's going to be under Ezra. The first one was up under Zerubbabel. The second is going to be under Ezra the scribe. And now you pick back up in the book of Esther. In the book of Ezra. You pick up Ezra chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. Because he come to restore the law. Isn't it interesting? In chapter 10, you get there, you got to break the marriages up. Oh, yeah. That's where it comes in. Now, 13 years later, because this is going to be 458 B.C., 13 years later, which is 445 B.C., the third return under, and we all should know this, it shouldn't give us any problem, a man by the name of Nehemiah. We know he built the walls in 52 days, Nehemiah chapter 6. That's how it fits in. Now, in our remaining 4 or 5 minutes, I need to point something out because I mentioned it and didn't develop it. Go back to chapter 5 in the book of Ezra. Go back to chapter 5. We're not going to be able, I wanted to get to those genealogies in Nehemiah as well. Not going to be able to do it. But here, and we're not going to be able to get with Malachi, who's the contemporary of Nehemiah. You got Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Those three post-exilic prophets that prophesied, preached on the other side of that 70-year period. Nehemiah, contemporary, Malachi, last book in the Bible, that 13-chapter book. Now, in chapter 5, we see actually Haggai and Zechariah is mentioned. It's mentioned by God. To get further data, and I point this out to you, please keep this written on the blackboards of your mind. If I were to go to Zechariah or Haggai during this particular period, I'm not doing no damage to the text. Because they are in harmony with one another. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Haggai quickly. Turn now. Now, I know you may not study that book too much, so if you got to turn to the table of contents, just turn to the table of contents. Haggai. Boom, 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 boom. You got it? Oh. So if I get anything out of this book, you see all truth has to run in parallel lines. Haggai is not going to start writing this book and go way back over here and start talking about the book of Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus. He's going to concentrate on where his book fits. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Joshadak the high priest, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have so much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. You look for much, and Lord came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, said the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is wasted, you run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stained from dew, and the earth is stained from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountain, upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obey the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet that the Lord their God has sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's message, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, said the Lord. And the Lord stirred up. The spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah.